He's been called a spiritual warrior, a teacher, and healer. Ron Scott's lifetime of community activism in Detroit came to an end recently when he died at age 68. Ron Scott's quest for peace and justice led him to found the Detroit Coalition Against Police Brutality. But his activism is wide and goes way back to when he met Grace and James Boggs, and he was just 16 years old. His friend and longtime Detroit activist, Rich Feldman, is here with us now. Rich is the author of End of the Line, The Auto Workers, and The American Dream. Rich, it's good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
You first met Ron Scott in the early 70s. That is a lot of living and a lot of Detroit history that you two have shared over those decades.
Yeah, I had the privilege of meeting Ron when 30 young student activists from Ann Arbor, Michigan moved to Detroit. And we were excited and inspired by the work that the members of the Black Panther Party were doing, as well as the League of Revolutionary Black Workers. And that's why people were moving to Detroit, because Detroit was a movement city. So I had a chance to meet Ron during that early period, and then really, really began to work closely with him when he was working with Save Our Sons and Daughters and We the People to Reclaim Our Streets, when he was active in those organizations which were committed to marching against drug houses and marching against violence in our city, when Clementine Barfield and Vera Rucker started those organizations in the mid-late 80s. And then as Ron created the Coalition Against Police Brutality, just had this amazing, important experience with him into this in the last period when we started Detroit City of Hope. He struggled around the Ayanna Jones case to bring it to national attention when this 7-year-old girl was killed, and then we had the privilege of working to create Peace Zones for Life, which is his most recent engagement and commitment.
If you could take us back, because you knew this man over these years, and when I hear that he met Grace and James Boggs when he was such a young man, what kind of impact do you think that left on Ron?
Well, Ron, along with being an activist and an organizer and a thinker, was also a TV producer and a film producer. So he often was doing videos and filming and radio shows as well. And the impact of Grace and Jimmy was the impact that there was a fundamental theory that the only purpose for revolution was the evolution of humankind, which is a very profound difference from most activists who see grievances as the reason for change. Ron brought to Jimmy and Grace, and Jimmy and Grace brought to Ron this concept that it's human transformation that's the essence of how we create the next American Revolution. And it was deep in the spirit of the Black Panther Party as well. And Jimmy and Grace were, you know, the generation before Ron and myself, two generations before. So they often had many people come through their home to have these discussions. I think the other part that was really important in Ron's relationship with James Boggs and Grace Lee Boggs was their evolving ideas around the creation of an outsider class and an underclass in America. And what that meant was that people would become technologically displaced and permanently outcasts of American society. And it was those young people and that part of the community that Ron was very, very dedicated to. He saw very early the signs on the wall, or understood that millions of young people were going to end up in prison after the war on drugs was created and the militarization.
You've kind of ticked off a litany of things he's been involved with, he started, he's done, and we know that's just scratching the surface, Rich. But talk more about this Peace Zones project, because that idea of going into the neighborhoods and showing people, hey, it's the fighting and violence here that leads to police violence, and let's, you know, quest for peace. Tell us more about that.
So Ron, in his struggles against police brutality, and as the prison population was increasing, as he saw young people not only being put in prison for absurd reasons, like how they were walking down the street or trying to make Greektown safe for visitors, quote unquote, Ron saw the internal violence taking place in the community. So he never separated the state violence of some police officers. And he was always very clear to talk about some police officers and police brutality by some police officers. He wasn't talking about all police officers.
Yeah, no blanket statement here.
No blanket statement. He was always very clear about that. And that's what led to the federal decree that put an oversight in Detroit, because he was part of creating that momentum and discussion in our city. to deal with what was happening in the jails and what was happening in the police force in Detroit and in the metro area. So out of that, Ron saw and went to many, many, as he would say, hundreds and hundreds of funerals over the decades.
Yeah.
And they were folks killing each other from the community, as well as some the result of police violence and police brutality. And he understood that when there was violence within the community and the police were called, they often intensified the crisis rather than de-escalate. That's why we see 40 years later the Ferguson and everything that's followed around the country.
Right.
And Ron then, with other folks from the Coalition Against Police Brutality, Sandra Hines and Wayne Curtis, they created what was called Peace Zones for Life. So they work in neighborhoods to de-escalate violence, work to train young people on becoming peacemakers, and been engaged with creating plays and artistic creations, the importance of boarding up homes, making the neighborhood safe, but working with people who live in the neighborhood to create safety in the community, whether that's a peace park, whether that's de-escalation process, whether that's leadership training among young people. And he also saw it very much related to the need for community production and community economics. You couldn't separate the need for young people to be working to rebuild their community with the need for young people and the community to be engaged in Peace Zones for Life.
You know, Rich, you knew him, especially, as you say, working with him over the past 10, 15 years. What do you think people who saw him from a distance, what would they be surprised to know about Ron Scott?
I think when folks have the kind of commitment that Ron had and the drive and the passion and the love he had for people from his community, from his family, from his neighborhood, from the city of Detroit, the kind of passion that he had, too many folks don't see it as love. And folks who wanted to be critical of Ron would see more anger than love. And I think Ron, if you knew Ron and you knew what drove him, it was a love for the community. It was a love for the safety of what was possible. And most importantly, it was a love believing that every young person has a right to reach his or her potential. And he would always ask the question, who's not at the table in this organizing effort? It's not enough to just protest the injustice, but who's not at the table so that they can be part of providing leadership to grow in this period for themselves?
It's notable, I'm sure many have looked at the calendar and realized that Ron Scott's death came less than 2 months after that of Grace Lee Boggs. Are you confident that the torch will be passed?
I think we're living at a time when growing numbers of people are asking the question, how do I get involved? How do I make a commitment that matters? And I think Grace for 100 years and Ron for 68 years, as they pass on, have represented the best of what it means to be working to, as we would say, change ourselves, to change the world, to transform ourselves. Ron went from a young man in the projects with family who were teachers and who family members who were ministers, and took all of that with him and never forgot where he came from. Very few people maintain the kind of consistency and the kind of commitment that Ron has done over these decades. And that's why there's such an outpouring of love and support for him at this moment. As I said, he was always asking the question, how do we make sure we involve and engage with those young people who are being outcast or being made invisible by those in government or those in the media, and that it's totally wrong to criminalize our young people, and more important, to look at ourselves and look at ourselves in the mirror as an older generation of what our responsibility is to provide the space and the opportunity for people to grow as leaders, as peacemakers.
Rich Feldman is an author and a longtime Detroit activist as he speaks to us about the recent death of his friend Ron Scott. There will be a public funeral for Ron Scott Saturday, December 12th. It'll be held at the historic Little Rock Baptist Church at 9000 Woodward Avenue in Detroit. Rich, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your insights with us.
You're welcome, and thank you for caring.